You're listening to Japan Baseball Weekly. News, interviews, analysis, and hot takes about all 12 NPB teams. Hosted by Jim Allen and John E. Gibson.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of April 3rd. I'm John Gibson, and with me on a Sunday night is my partner and my buddy, Jim Allen. How you doing, bud?
I'd like to say I'm just peachy keen and feeling, in the peak of fitness, but I got a cough, but that should be no hindrance to our podcast.
Well, let's hope not, but hit the mute button if you have to, and that's about all I have to say to you, other than I hope you can kick this thing soon. I had a cough last year, and it was almost 2 weeks that all of a sudden I'd go into coughing fits and couldn't talk, couldn't sleep, couldn't do a lot of things. The only time it didn't bother me was when I was working out. So, yeah, that was.
But it only bothers me when I'm trying to sleep. To be frankly, I mean, now it's progressed to the point where I feel great about 12 hours a day, and then I can't sleep for for 4 hours. And so then the remaining eight, I'm finally out, not sleeping, but out, unconscious.
Out. Yeah, because you're exhausted. Yeah, well, get well soon.
Thank you.
All right, on this week's show, we've got Oryx pitcher Jacob Wagispack. We're going to talk about a wild and crazy opening weekend and the defective Dragons. And we're going to handle some high heat, so let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
Okay, well, on March 7th, I was in Osaka following the Japan national team as it built up for the, I don't know, they played in some exhibition, I heard. Anyway, people keep telling me that, at least. And
are these people and tell them to stop talking.
I know. Anyway, I was in Osaka and the Samurai Japan played two exhibitions. These were exhibitions, one against the Hanshin Tigers and one against the Oryx Buffaloes. And the second game against the Buffaloes, I was waiting, before the game, I was on the field. Yeah. And I saw Jacob Wagispack in the dugout, and he wasn't a register. He wasn't supposed to really be there, but he just showed up because he wanted to see what was going on. And so we had a chat, and it was the first time I've had a chance to speak with him, which was really cool. And he knew you, of course, because you talked to him last year.
Well, and only via video conference.
Me. Yeah.
We have yet to meet.
Okay. But he spoke to you last year and he's, he was like, wow, I didn't know you were going to be here. I'm going, yeah, that's the way I roll. Yeah, it is pretty much the way I roll. I just kind of show up. In fact, I was going to show up at Jingu. I was going to go. I felt so good yesterday. I was planning to go to Jingu Stadium this morning and then, not being able to sleep until 4 a.m. kind of torpedoed that plan. But anyway, so I was talking to Jacob and we were talking about this. And I guess the last thing I'll say before we started is, and he'll talk a little bit about Yoshinobu Yamamoto and what a cool customer he is. And just as we were finishing, Yamamoto showed up and he had something, a little gift exchange, and Wagispack had his Yoshinobu Yamamoto national team jersey that Yamamoto had signed.
Wow.
Got a picture of them, and they were chatting away. And I asked, apparently he was calling him some nickname like Wags or something. And I said, why don't they call you Wagyu, which is Japanese beef? Mm-hmm. And he said, don't worry, they call me lots of different things. So let's have a listen to Jacob, the very fun and lively Jacob Wagispack.
This is awesome. I'm not even like dressing out tonight. I just wanted to come and see the atmosphere. And I may not even stay for the game, but I would like to. And, looking to see Yamamoto and Yeah, man, the atmosphere, though, just you can feel the buzz. It's almost like a playoff game.
Last night was pretty electric.
Yeah, yeah, I watched it on TV. It was awesome. So it's good to be out here.
So tell me, first, you know, it's like the spring training. How was it? There were fans in spring training this year and the whole bit?
We had a ton of fans, man. Of course, I wasn't here last year. We had visa issues.
Okay.
So I skipped all of Miyazaki.
Oh, man. Oh, you missed the best part.
Right, exactly. Yeah. this year was a little more, you know, back in the groove of things and running and, you know, throwing and all that stuff every day. So it was good, man. And we had a ton of fans. I think the first opening day we had like 13,000 fans.
All
right. Like, it was nuts. So it was special for
sure. So I want to say, actually, so welcome to Japan, like, for real.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. This is my first full season.
Now, you were starting last year and then you ended up in relief and you did, you know, you had some big games in the Japan series. So tell me about that experience.
It was great, man. Early on I was starting and then, you know, we kind of, both Hirano and Abe got COVID.
Okay.
And so they were like, hey, we need you to cover a few games. And then I ended up just staying there. It just kind of worked out to where, manager trusted me to put me into some tight spots. And, luckily I was able to get some outs and, get some saves there in the series. And I'm so happy that, you know, how it turned out just for...
Yeah, first game was a little touch and go there, I recall.
Yeah, then, that was a little dicey there.
And then after that, it was kind of lights out. Was it just getting the nerves out of the way?
I don't know, man.
Or just one of those games?
No, that first game, I got two quick outs on like four pitches, and then maybe just got too cute with it and trying to make perfect pitches. And got out of it. And then, I mean, like you said earlier, just the atmosphere here is awesome, and we had a 1-0 game here, our first win, and it was packed, and that was just amazing to be able to be out there and, you know, hear the fans and everything and get the win. And, you know, of course we lost 2 years ago in the series and I wasn't here, but obviously I wanted to try and produce for these guys so we could win.
Which do you prefer, starting or relieving, or do you really care?
I think everybody would tell you starting.
Okay. Like, just so there are people who are so, you know, accustomed to one or the other, but
yeah, I think early on I would say starting, but now the more that I am in the bullpen, and the more I buy into, you know, being a reliever, I love it. I mean, okay. I don't mind it. I think the starting routine is obviously better. You pitch once
a
week.
There's nothing. I swear, if I had reincarnated as a baseball player, I'd be a starting pitcher in Japan.
Right, yeah, yeah. At game time, you don't have to stay for the game. You go home, you eat dinner, you watch the game. So
yeah, you got one day. You got 1 day off a week. You work six. You know, you pitch every once a week.
Right.
And then 3 days, you're at home.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's an amazing routine. So yeah, I would love that. But you know, I'm whatever we need as a team. That's what I'll do. So
okay. Now tell me, one of the things that people always pretty much routinely say when they come to Japan is, you know, I've never been on such a great team before. You know, the clubhouse is just like the best. Mm-hmm. And then I say, well, how is it better? And it's always like, I don't know. But then I heard something. We had a panel discussion a few months ago, or maybe last month. And one of the former players says, what you don't see is you don't see guys fighting in the clubhouse. See that conflict.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, that's sort of the thing that I was missing from that discussion. You know,
that's just the culture here, I think. You know, the more you go anywhere around here, like, the people are just friendly. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no ill will anywhere, as far as I'm concerned. So that's kind of how the clubhouse is, too. And, you know, guys kind of just keep to themselves. But, you know, we'll play around every now and then and mess with each other. But, you know, it's just really easy going. We got music playing, just like clubhouse back home or anywhere else. But no, this particular group, you know, it's like it's super relaxing. And I think that starts with our manager too. Like he's awesome. I mean, he lets us do our thing, and he's not on anybody. You know, he just kind of lets players be players, and So I think that trickles down to us where we can relax and just go out and do our jobs.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. He's sort of the new wave.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And he's bringing that to the table, you know, with his experience in the States, working with the Padres. So, you know, I think he's trying to bring that to the Japanese market, and, you know, it's going well so far.
Okay, last question before I move on, let other people have a chance, is when you came, what were your anticipation coming to Japan in the first place? Because it's changed dramatically from the way it was 20 years ago when it was people at the end of the last play out your string in Japan and finish.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like a total 180 as it is now, or as it was back in the day. I mean, for me, it was an opportunity to come in and, like, contribute, mm-hmm. you know. In the teams I was on, like, whether it's in the big leagues or even AAA, you know, you're just a piece there.
Right.
And so I wanted to be able to contribute and you know, be able to work on some things. And you're here with good competition, too.
Sure.
So, you know, it was kind of one of those things where, hey, if the opportunity presents itself, this would be a great thing to take advantage of. Plus all, you know, the business side of it with, like, you go home and you're a free agent.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't have to go through arbitration. You know, those little things definitely matter, too. So I'm happy that I'm here for sure.
Yeah, I deal with a lot of the – well, I don't deal with them, but, I, you know, I'm part of that journalist, scout, agent ecosystem.
Uh-huh.
You know, talk to the scouts, talk to the agents.
Yeah.
Most of the MLB scouts here, I mean, they know the whole rigmarole with the Japanese player. Of course, they want to find that Japanese player who's going to be the star. They want their team to sign him. The guy, the bread and butter, is you guys.
I guess. I mean, they call us, and we're the foreigners are helpers.
Sure.
And that's, I think, when guys come over here and they buy into that, like,
yeah,
this is their style, man. This is their deal. You know, we're coming to help.
Mm.
And so that's kind of what I was happy I did last year.
Sure.
Yeah, I came over and, you know, I want to contribute, but I'm glad that I helped. And, you know, that's how they view us, and that's totally fine. Because this is their style. It's their country. And, you know, it's been like that for so long.
Well, yeah, is there something personally to be gained from that, from your personal selfish standpoint of your career? You're getting something out of it as well, I imagine.
I think just getting reps, man. Just
okay.
Getting consistent reps. You know, sometimes it's hard when you're fighting for a position in the big leagues or something. Or if you're the long guy, like, mm-hmm. you might pitch on Monday and then not pitch for 10 days.
Okay.
You know, whereas here, you know, you're going to get consistent reps as long as you're producing. So for me, that's, I'm trying to get better, you know, while I'm also trying to produce too. So, hopefully both happen, you know,
right.
You don't want just one to happen, but if both happen, then you should be in a good situation.
Yeah, because like I said, many of the scouts are, I kind of bailed on a couple of them because I was so busy doing other stuff, but they're selling, man, send me that list of players who are of the import players who are at the end of their contract, because I want to, you know, check out and see which ones we can sign.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens, man. My door is always open to anything. So,
what kind of things have you learned in Japan about playing baseball that maybe you didn't expect to learn?
I would say just how they play the game is very, very relaxed.
Huh.
Like, you don't have to, you know, be so aggressive or you know, want to, like, a football mindset. Go out and, you know, like, punch them in the mouth, you know, like, these guys are so relaxed, and if you watch Yamamoto pitch,
well, he's a different kind of cat.
He'll give up five, if he gives up five. Yeah, I guess one start last year I saw him give up runs, and I mean, he was happy-go-lucky, you know, just whatever happens doesn't matter. And I think I've learned from that just to, like, say, hey, you know, this is a game, and, you know, you're going to get some that roll your way and some don't, and just have that even keel where you can – or you can tune it up if you need to, but kind of stay relaxed and let your body do the work.
Which is sort of the name of the game in your business, is staying even.
Heck yeah, man.
There's so much stuff you can't control.
Heck yeah, it's like this all season.
Sure.
So, yeah, man.
All right, well, I'll tell you, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks so much for your time. It was such a pleasure. I mean, not only just to be on the field talking to players, but actually getting to meet people and talk to people like the old days.
Yes, the old days.
The old days.
Which is sort of being phased back in slowly and carefully.
Yeah, please carefully. Yeah.
Yes.
So, anyway, so what would anything you'd like to comment about?
Sure. I mean, no one appreciates more than I do your effort to pin Jacob into a question corner and ask him to detail exactly what it is about MPB locker rooms that is so great. And for you, unfortunately, you gave him an out.
Yeah.
Because you gave him the out with the Aaron Guile comment from the panel discussion,
right?
And he took it and ran.
Well, because nobody's ever come. That was the first time anybody had ever mentioned that to me.
Hmm.
I mean, people just say, oh, it's the greatest. And I say, okay, if it's the greatest, that means when you were with the, you know, AA with the Mets, then that wasn't as good. Oh, no, that was good. And then, yes. And then when you were with the Blue Jays, then that wasn't as good. Oh, no, that was good too. And yeah. So it's always kind of like Japan is the best, but nothing is worse.
Right. We've heard your side of the story. We wanted to get a player side of the story, but
right.
We were not able to because, like I said, you gave him an out and he took it and ran.
Well, like I said, nobody ever, I've asked that question 100 times and nobody ever gives us the answer.
We know, and we're waiting. We're still waiting, guys. So let us hit us with it. But I love hearing about his approach and his attitude
mm-hmm.
toward being used as a piece of the puzzle, you know, a useful part of the puzzle. It doesn't really matter. And when he and I spoke last year, I think he was transitioning into doing some relief after having started. And, and he had an unfortunate day today in terms of the results, but I love his delivery. He's got all the arms and elbows and kneecaps coming at you. And then he's got such a difficult angle for guys to see the ball. And he was delivering pitches as if he were a left-handed pitcher to left-handed batters today. And really making some good pitches. It just didn't work out for him today, but I like what I see in him. And I think he can have extended success here as long as he stays healthy. But yeah, we've heard this before from players about just trying to be part of the puzzle. But I think what I sensed from Jacob today or from this interview was that guys like him who don't get the opportunity
mm-hmm.
really cherish the opportunities to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, you know, they might come with a game plan or something in mind, but then when things get changed around and they have to make an about face or whatever kind of adjustment they have to go through, they just do it, but they're not really happy about it. But it just seems to me that what came across from his delivery as he was speaking to you was that, look, I just really appreciate having the opportunity to compete. The way he explained, you know, mm-hmm. closing out a Japan series game, it was just different. You know, it was different mm-hmm. for me. It was genuine. And so I really, that's what came through. And I was just curious why he didn't stay for those WBC warm-up games, because if he was there, obviously he had access to the games. But I suspect that sometimes we forget that the baseball park is an office for these guys. And who wants to stick around the office even if there is cake and ice cream and other kinds of goodies and a party going on? You really want to go home. So I kind of understand that, but I wished he would have gotten into why he was going back home.
Yeah, well, lots of different things going on there. But yes, the enthusiasm, particularly about the crowds and how excited he was to hear the crowds and how excited he was to be pitching in the Japan series when it was a little noisy, but not quite, you know, real Japan noisy,
mm-hmm.
was great. And that reminds me so much of what, you know, Chris Martin told me about his MLB debut with the Texas Rangers after he'd pitched for the Nippon Ham Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, you know, people asked him, you know, you're in front of this big crowd. How was the response? And he's like, ah, I've been there, done that.
Right.
You know, I did that in Japan. You know, I was playing, you know, every game was a big game. And the crowds were noisy like this every day. So, you know, being the MLB debut was really cool. And I had a lot of nerves, but that was an adjustment I didn't have to make. So the guys come here, as he said, for reps and are always looking for opportunities to play baseball. And, you know, Japan is opening the doors for these guys. And some of these guys are really, you know, they show that, that opportunity probably should have come sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just needed, you know, they needed the reps. They needed the chance to get into, you know, to find themselves while picking up stuff that Japan teaches.
Right.
So I enjoyed that. I also like the, you know, there's something I had forgotten, which was that he mentioned was that Satoshi Nakajima had been a roving minor league instructor for the San Diego Padres for 2 years.
Oh, that's what he was doing. Okay.
Yeah. So he did that while he was with the Fighters, because the Fighters had a working agreement with the San Diego Padres then. And the Padres do that a lot. You know, Hideo Nomo is still a consultant with them. Takashi Saito was a consultant with them. Akinori Otsuka, the former, the 2006 WBC closer for Japan, was a AAA coach for them for a few years. Now he's a pitching coach for the Chunichi Dragons. And it's kind of a Padres thing, but, you know, you really sense that Nakajima, I mean, even when he was with Nippon Ham, you sensed he was a little different, you know, that he was even keel among, you know, guys who could keep balanced amid all the ups and downs. He made those guys look like they were manic depressives. You know, he's just super calm all the time and nothing seemed to faze him. And, you know, no question was too irritating for him to answer. And, you know, he's got that demeanor of, you know, we're just here to do our job and let's do it and, you know, have fun while we're at it. So, yeah, I want to thank Jacob for reminding me of that, because I'd completely forgotten it. I mean, so many of these guys go over to the States for this and that. And if you miss the news the day they're going or the day they agree to it, you pretty much never hear about it.
Right, right. Which makes sense. They're over there coaching and...
Right. So
unless you're over there covering, you don't really, and you wouldn't even know it. I suspect that these guys don't talk to the media very much over there either. So
no,
the media doesn't know over there as well.
I suspect not. So, and after that, we also talked about Yoshihisa Hirano and his presence. And he says, this is just really fun, fun to be around and, kind of a little bit of a character. So it was fun.
All right. Well, awesome. Thank you very much for doing the interview.
You're welcome. And, it was my, I'll tell you, it was really my pleasure. 3 years is way too long.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to shake his hand and say hello. And thank you, Jacob, for taking the time. And awesome that you were there when you didn't have to be. So that's also very helpful. All right. Let's make a four-seam transition and get into opening weekend. So we had games. Baseball has begun in Japan as well as in Major League Baseball, and I believe in Korea as well. So
yeah, Korea opened yesterday, and right, so. Actually Korea I think opened on they opened on Saturday, and Taiwan opened today, I think. So we're like full barreled.
All right, well, umpires are screaming everywhere, so let's and so are fans.
Mon Bleu.
Some at the wrong Angels players. But anyway, we had a standalone game on Thursday night at Escom Field, Hokkaido, and opening up that brand new sparkling stadium. And, you know, we're going to be talking about some games, but I just felt let down by the pitching matchup here. I was kind of excited to see Masahiro Tanaka take the mound in an area where, you know, he played high school baseball mm-hmm. near Hokkaido, so I was happy about that. But Takayuki Kato didn't excite me. I was wondering where Naoyuki Uwasawa was. I thought that would have been a better matchup for fans to watch. But I don't know why I didn't read anything as to why Tsuyoshi Shinjo, the manager of the Fighters, decided to go with Kato. So my guess was that he just wanted to reward a guy who has really been steady for that team for a while. And maybe just change things up in terms of trying to get through the series and get some wins. I don't know.
I think it was more like I got a lefty and the Eagles are in town, so I'm going to pitch him first. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. So I guess it was a better game than I anticipated it mm-hmm. being. I thought I was going to see more scoring. I think we all thought we were going to see more scoring. I can't speak for you or we all, I say that, but I don't really say that for us all because I'm talking about me. I expected more scoring, but it ended up being a 3-1 victory for the Eagles. So the Fighters lose their home opener in the brand new stadium. But Masahiro Tanaka, he carried a perfect game into the fifth inning and he gets the win. And he looked better than last year in terms of velocity. To me, I wasn't watching the gun so much as I was watching the reactions to his pitches, and his control seemed a little bit better. And so I was really glad to see him throw so well. And yeah, I was surprised. I mean, you hear about the dimensions of Escon Field and then you actually see it on TV. I can't, you know, Jason Koskrie got a chance to go there. It looks really small on TV.
And but it's this, bigger. Apparently, it's got more surface area than Sapporo Dome did in terms of the playing field.
Yeah, I can believe that because when you look at the center field and the little zigzag they have going out there in center, I can understand that. And the fence isn't really high, and they have it set up so that you can see easily tell what's a home run and what's not a home run. I think they put a lot of effort into it. It's a really good looking stadium. I hope I can get to go sooner than later. But the short porches that just, you know, and who had Yuki Ito as the guy hitting the home run, the first home run in that ballpark? Not many, but he ended up having quite a day-to-day defensively and so he looks like, you know, he's going to contribute to that team. But what was your takeaway from that standalone start? And then we had the other teams start the next night with the Fighters and Eagles sitting back and watching them play, which is kind of weird. I know they're trying to be more like the major leagues, and we've seen that in the major league schedule for years, but I just found it very odd to do it in Japan and have the team off the next day. It was just...
Yeah, they did. Well, that's pretty much what most of the MLB teams did this weekend. Most of them had Friday off after Thursday opening day. I don't get it, but the Fighters basically... Well, opening day was going to be the 31st, and the Fighters said, you know, they're like raising their hand, or teacher, teacher... me, call me. We got a new park, sir. Can we open first? And okay, if you'll shut up, we'll let you open on Thursday. But you can't play on Friday. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, I've seen that happen a couple of times. In fact, we've had a couple of times when we had opening series, and I think it's the Fighters who did that a few years back. They had a Thursday, Saturday, Sunday opening series for some reason. So they're kind of repeat offenders in this area.
Arrest but, those men.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna not use the I've given up on using corporate names. So I'm gonna call this one what it should be called, you know, in honor of the people actually paid for it. I'm gonna call it Kita Hiroshima Taxpayers Burden Field.
Hashtag
It's a beauty, but let's put the credit where the credit is due.
Yeah.
Okay. So I enjoyed that. And as far as Masahiro Tanaka goes, I thought his fastball actually was mediocre his first year back. Mm. It was pretty good last year. It was really good, but it varied. And it was like that. I thought it was like that on Thursday. It was good enough, but his command overall was pretty good. And he, you know, obviously he knows what he's doing, which is a big thing. So when things aren't working, he's always able to adjust. And I did think it was really cool. He made a nice comment about, you know, having gone to high school, he's from central Japan, he's from Western Japan in Hyogo Prefecture. And he went to Hokkaido to play high school baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And his school was about 30 kilometers south of the new Fighters ballpark. And he said, you know, basically fate has tied me to Hokkaido, so I'm pretty happy to be here. And this is, you know, the one-off opportunity, and to get the win is special.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was expecting more shenanigans with Shinjo, but he came off, you know, they lost the game. And I think this year he's going to put more focus on wins and losses. It seems like at least his attitude is pointing in that direction or heading in that direction. And he sounded more stately after the game. I want to quote him here. He said, "I could never have imagined myself being the manager of a team opening up Escon Field. And although this loss hurts, I believe we're building a new generation and I'm going to be watching over it." And I thought that was, that's the end of the quote. And I thought that was really, like I said, a little more stately than we've seen from him in the past. And, you know, he really felt the weight of the moment, because you never get a chance to play another first game in a brand new ballpark. So I'm sure they wanted to win it, but.
Yeah, we were, I was talking on Twitter with some Fighters fans and they raised him. Before they introduced the teams, they had the Fighters standing out like on a platform near second base. And Shinjo might have been the mound actually, because he rose up like from an elevator they had smoke going off and he rose up out of nowhere, mm-hmm. which was a little less flashy than his typical kind of flashy entrances, like on a hover bike. Yeah. Last year, or being lowered from the ceiling of Sapporo Dome.
Correct.
I said to one fan, I was kind of hoping to see him hang him from the ceiling again, but that didn't happen.
Well, again, I'm glad we're showing a little bit more maturity, but you get
that's it. Low bar.
Is there even a bar? But the thing about it is, people will come to the new stadium this season and maybe even next season, mm-hmm. because it's so spectacular and so fantastic. Mm-hmm. But after that, you got to have a product out there or you're going to be stuck with a huge empty building, you know, party or no party. You call it a party. We call it a get together. So, I mean, among friends and family, I mean, yeah. You got to win. So,
They were advertising Fighters Village. You know, during the game, they had a big Yu Darvish commercial, and then they showed it on TV in Shibuya Crossing. Like all the different signboards, you know, message signs were all showing like Yu Darvish and ads for the Fighters. And see, what they're doing is selling these very expensive condominiums all around mm-hmm. the ballpark. So, basically real estate.
All right.
Well, so they're going to make that. They're going to make their money whether they play baseball there or not. They're aiming. See. So they're aiming to be the Pittsburgh Pirates of Japan in terms of their finances. At least, you know, by that I mean, being in the black before they sell a single ticket every year.
Gotcha. But the Fighters did rebound and got their first win of the season in their next game, and that was on Saturday, and they beat the Eagles 4-3, walk off in the 10th inning, and I was genuinely happy to see Kotaro Kiyomiya walk it off for them and be the guy to knock in that game winner and that first victory for them. And, you know, we didn't hear why Naoyuki Uwasawa didn't get that first start, but again, I don't know if you could say he pitched great, but that it was a really tightly contested game. So was today's game, another one-run game. And it just seemed like these teams are just fighting tooth and nail in this series, and the Eagles end up winning it, the series, that is. But the middle game here, Kiyomiya was the hero, and someone else who sounded a little bit more mature, and I was happy for him. Although we haven't seen the home runs and the power. Everyone keeps saying how much he has made strides from that first couple seasons. So if he keeps getting better, at some point he might be 33, but he might win a home run title, or he might win a batting crown, and I'm sure that'd be fine with him as long as he's still playing. Maybe we, you know, had as observers had some really high hopes for him because he put up some big numbers as a high school player, but you know, the object of the game is to eventually have a good long career and win. And if he can do those things, I don't think he'll worry about hitting those milestone numbers with the home runs and all the other figures. So,
well, I think I said in the couple of times, I think we're going to see what kind of player Kiyomi is going to be this year, because if he doesn't figure it out after like 900 plate appearances, it's very unlikely he's going to figure it out 1,000 plate appearances later.
Yeah, I hear you. Again, if he gets better, I don't see them pulling the plug. But if he stays the same, then maybe. But
I think the odds are good that he'll get better, because he really hasn't done much yet. So
yeah, again, the bar not that high, right?
No, it is not. But you know, he showed flashes of it last year, and good for him. And hopefully, he'll have a. He showed like plan as opposed to just swing now and then. So
right, or look for fastball, hunt fastballs.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, obviously he's learning, and yeah, good luck to him.
All right, other games that stood out for me, or other instances or things that happened on opening weekend that stood out for me, I guess it would have to be Friday night at Tokyo Dome. The Dragons end up winning this game 6-3. However, and I was messaging with Jason, and I was railing on Kazuyoshi Tatsunami, the second-year manager, and how he does nothing but make silly moves to help lose games sometimes. And his players bailed him out of this game because he left his opening day starter, Shinosuke Ogasawara, out there for 145 pitches. Now, that long, that much, against every analytic metric, right brain thinking, left brain thinking, and no brain thinking. I don't know. I didn't even hear anyone ask him the manager interview after the game. The interviewer did not ask him what his thinking was behind leaving the pitcher out there that long. I didn't see any quotes about it. Maybe he didn't comment on it or said something silly like, well, he still looked good. And no book on baseball, in no world, in no planet, is it okay for an opening day pitcher to throw 145 pitches. That's absurd. The whole notion that he would leave him out there. I was messaging with Jason. I said, well, maybe he's just going to leave him out there until he loses, which he tried to do, but the players rallied and bailed him out. And poor Ogasawara, he's crying after the game, and everyone said, well, that's the announcers I listened to at least said, well, you know, he felt such a responsibility for pitching on opening day, and he's crying. Well, he's crying because he knows his arm's going to fall off.
Hashtag high heat.
Nice to know you.
His career is over. Anyway, what game or instance stood out for you?
Well, I've got a few, but that was a – he did actually answer. He was asked in the press conference with when the writers got to him. He said the plan was for him to go eight innings.
Eight is what I heard that, but that.
Yeah, that was it. That was the plan. He was going to go eight, and he was on it until he wasn't. Okay. And.
Yeah, that was.
Right.
Yeah. And.
And let's see what else about that. Interesting. So Taisei Ota, the Giants closer, was not available, which helped the Dragons win that game.
Yeah.
Because the Giants. And the guy, you know, and there's this guy pitching down the road Saturday and Sunday who the Giants gave up for a song, who is now the Swallows closer, Kazuto Taguchi, who is just a really fun Frank. I'm excited to get a chance to talk to him with the Swallows and see what's up with him, because he just looks like a ball of fun.
Now,
of course. Well, but of course, that's common after leaving the Giants. One learns that baseball is fun.
Yeah.
And so he saved a couple of games over the weekend. So that there was that juxtaposition, although Taisei Ota did come back and save Sunday's game. So those things were going on. The other two things that, let's see, we've got three unbeaten teams, which are the Swallows, the SoftBank Hawks, and the Hunching Tigers. Right. We've got three guys who are, the aforementioned Kazuto Taguchi. In addition to him, there's two other guys who are really on fire this weekend. And you know their names. Of course, Yoda Kurihara, who missed all of last season and probably the biggest reason why the Hawks finished in a flat-footed tie with the Buffaloes.
Right, yeah.
And Sho Nakata, who drove in all five Giants runs in their first two games.
Right.
So those things were kind of fun and interesting. I guess I could throw in Jose Osuna, who homered in his first two games as well as those two guys.
Yeah. There had been some nice performances.
Right. And then the three new managers are combined 1-8.
So and that's brand new managers. Yeah, yep. Brand new managers. We're not counting Akinobu.
Yeah, I don't think you could,
because he's back. These guys are rookie managers. Yeah, they're first time managers.
Yeah, well, he's,
and only Kazuo Matsui of the Lions has a win, and the other guys are got swept. And what was your comment before that?
Well, before that, about
before, yeah.
I guess the comment was I was going to mention that. The Matsui's game, Matsui was interesting because he got some flack for using a rookie to close Friday's opener against the Oryx Buffaloes, and he blew the save.
Right.
And
with
then,
two outs.
Yeah.
Against their former player, the Tomoyamori home run. Yep. Yeah.
And so, anyway, Sunday, you know, he brought him back to save the game, and he did the job. And Sunday was like, I don't know, it was like the Lions youth team.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's a, 24-year-old Shohei Suzuki getting the game-breaking two-run triple, scoring another run. And was it Shota Sato? No, Shunsuke Sato, who's 23, retiring Tomoyamori in the eighth inning to get the win, and then the rookie coming in to save it. It was like, you know, we're young. Stop talking about other people being young. Stop talking about them fighters. We're the young guys here. So that was kind of, that was fun. I mean, that's kind of the little bit I had that kind of vibe from the Lions last year, when it seems like they were kind of trying to be like the Hawks and bring up all these young guys, except every time they brought them up, they'd get hurt.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's good to see that play from the Lions. They also got home runs today. We actually had a bunch of first new imports home runs on Sunday. David McKinnon hit his first in Japan. Matt Davidson with the Carp, and Marwin Gonzalez, who I spoke to in Osaka, and it seems like really, really a chill guy. And he hit his first home run in Japan. So congratulations to those guys. We also had a bunch of new foreign pitchers wheeling out and doing some stuff. So it was a fun weekend.
Yeah, I did want to point out that Dylan Peters of Yakult pitched really well in his first game. And Foster Griffin of the Yomiuri Giants was really good against the Dragons on Saturday. And he got the win. Peters didn't get the win because the Swallows
didn't score.
To score. Okay, so, but one thing that happened in that Friday game in Tokorozawa at the Luna Dome out there with the Cebu Lions was that Jesus Tinoco of Cebu had his first NPP pitch jacked out for a home run, and that came in the top of the 10th inning, and he ends up losing the game. Again, this was on Friday. And it happens. It's part of baseball. Sometimes you take the mound and your first pitch in an inning gets hit out or whatever. But of course, here he's trying to make this impression with his new team. He's in Japan, and Yuma Mune takes him deep to open the inning. And I messaged Jim immediately asking, hey, didn't that happen last year to one of the foreign pitchers that their first pitch got hit out for a home run? And Jim's like, get away from me, kid. You bother me. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. I haven't got time for you right now. Why are you nagging me like a puppy? that's what the message sounded like you were saying.
I can't remember.
He won't confirm or deny.
I remember the conversation, but I don't remember what I was doing at the time. But I didn't want to be bothered.
So you admit it. Anyway, so yeah. So I looked it up, and the only thing I could find was that Matt Schumacher of the Yomiuri Giants last year had his first pitch hit out for a home run. So that matches something that happened last year. And I didn't get the details, and I didn't go and look at the game and see who hit it out and all that stuff. And he probably ended up winning because I believe it was against the Dragons again. So not a big deal.
You just take that as an assumption. Yeah.
Yeah, I did remember something, and I do remember that the Tigers, because I said, wasn't it the Tigers? And I just remembered that they had a game in hand, it seemed, and then they couldn't close it out, and they ended up giving up a bunch of runs, and it was a foreign pitcher out there for them as well. But, yeah, that was
last year, that was Osuna. Robert Suarez.
So that might have been Kyle Keller of the Hanshin Tigers, but I don't remember exactly. So I just remember that they had a hard time closing out that game, and they ended up losing, and things went down from there. But anyway, a really fun opening weekend, and glad to be back in action. Now, before we go on, I'll give this update on our schedule as we move forward here. Some weekends I might be able to record the show on Sunday night. Other weekends, Jim and I are going to have to record on either Saturday night or Sunday morning. So be advised that sometimes we won't get in the full weekend of action, but that's just because I have obligations with the family here and on Monday, so I won't be able to stay up into the wee hours of the morning on Sunday night. So anyway, let's make a two-seam transition and talk about the defective Chunichi Dragons. So I woke up to reports on Tuesday. Some people who stay up late I woke up to the reports on Wednesday morning, but some people who stay up really late and, like Jim said, have colds and coughs that they're dealing with and struggling with and battling against might have seen it late on Tuesday night. But either way, Chunichi's Cuban reliever, Yariel Rodriguez, I guess we should say former Cuban reliever, defected and is seeking a big league deal. Now, there was a lot of chatter, let's call
yes. Chatter is probably a euphemism. Chatter's putting this in too good a light. I think it's probably more like ignorant boob talk. Although I should put that carefully because I don't want to be sued by people who identify themselves as ignorant boobs.
Hashtag high heat.
Well, with that, there's some murkiness. Someone at the office, they asked me today, so has Rodriguez, have the Dragons made contact with Rodriguez? And I said, what's it matter? I said, what are they going to say? Are you going to come back and play? And he's going to say no, probably. But what's the latest that you have heard on it? Like I said, he defected. He's going to be seeking a big league deal. So that kind of left the hole in the Chunichi bullpen. And we probably saw some effects of that today. They lost to the Giants, and that was part of the reason maybe the other day in the opener that Tatsunami was thinking, well, I'm sticking with this guy because I don't want to go to my bullpen. I don't know who's ready yet. Anyway, what have you heard? What is the latest as we sit here on Sunday?
Well, as I was corrected by Claudio Rodriguez, the first thing we have to do is when the Japanese media says he has a contract, we have to ask, really?
Yeah, have you seen it?
Exactly, because as many as some of you will remember and Jeremy Powell will never forget. The Oryx Buffaloes once said, "You can't play for SoftBank. We have you under contract. I mean, we don't want to sign you, but we have you under contract," kind of thing. And the media reported, "Oh yeah, well he's under contract and blah 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 blah." And as we've seen numerous times, the media knows what teams tell them, and teams don't always tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, this is sort of Major League of Japan, because MLB is actually pretty honest about things, but they're also very pernicious and predatory. So the attitude in MLB was whatever there is baseball in the world basically belongs to us at some point in time. Eventually, if it's any good, it should be here. You know, that's the attitude, and the fans absorb that. And so when people asked me what's up with Yariel Rodriguez, I said, well, first of all, we have to ask whether there's a contract. Actually, that wasn't the first thing that crossed my mind. But I assumed he was, and apparently he did, and Claudio Rodriguez confirmed this because he's got a picture of Rodriguez holding his contract with the head of the Cuban Baseball Federation, mm-hmm. his two-year contract through 2024. So that's done. Now, the idea that he can just leave and sign somewhere else is kind of silly. And I can only imagine that the timing of his defection was probably due, I don't know who to cast aspersions on, but in any case, he probably figured, I'm going to roll the dice, and if I get lucky, I can sign, you know, the Dragons won't put me on the restricted list like the SoftBank Hawks did with Oscar Colas, which cost him essentially 2 years of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is up with this? We haven't had any further reports. He is in the Dominican Republic, and the MLB fans he's going to be a Dominican citizen. Nobody cares what Cuba thinks. And of course, the answer is, well, the Chinese Dragons sure as heck care what Cuba thinks. Because a huge amount of their talent base comes from Cuba. And I will tell you that when Oscar Colas left and SoftBank owner Masayoshi Son started getting bad press from, you know, some annoying reporter here in Tokyo that about his supporting Cuba's kind of slave trade in baseball players, while talking about setting up a human rights NPO in America, was kind of hypocritical. And he told his team, basically, get me out of this jam. But the team talked him out of it and said, look, if we I don't have a verbatim conversation on this, but essentially the team would have loved to release him. But the Cubans said, you can't reward one of our people for leaving you by releasing him.
Mm.
So they kept him on the restricted list all year, and they never took him off until they dropped their right. They never removed him from the restricted list, but they non-tendered him in December. So as soon as they non-tendered him, they no longer had the right to reserve him, and they no longer had a right to keep him on the reserve list. So NPB took him off the reserve list, which got them off the hook with Cuba. Okay, so that was the thing. The Cubans basically are going to do, unless the Chunichi Dragons don't want any Cuban players in the future.
Right, they have to have that relationship or that.
That's right. That's right.
Unstuck.
Yep.
Yeah. And we've seen some contract issues with some murky contract issues, let's put it that way, with some Cuban players, including Colas, and then Lourdes Gurriel and the Bay Stars had an issue. This is not the first time. The situation might be fluid with the Dragons. I'm sure they want to continue to have that relationship, but they've been put in this situation. So I bet they're going to acquire another foreign pitcher from Cuba soon.
I imagine they'll get a replacement for him from Cuba. My guess is that Yariel Rodriguez, although he said he's looking to sign a contract in the near future, I would say his best bet is to start looking for a contract starting from December 3rd. Because I think the Dragons will not, they will have a right to, they can keep him on the restricted list. But here's the thing. If they keep a player on the restricted list, they have to use a roster spot for him. So they can only have a 69-man organizational roster instead of 70. So I'm guessing the Dragons will say to Cuba, look, we need to sign a guy. Probably in July, they'll say, look, we need to sign somebody to fill out our roster. And we can't have your guy on the season. We can't have it go through this next year. So they're going to say, we're going to release him at the end of the year. And that'll be his punishment. He'll miss a whole year. And, you know, and they'll reach an agreement with Cuba, you know, what is suitable punishment for Yariel Rodriguez. But my guess is that he will sign. Now, I had said 2 years, but Oscar Colossus' situation was different because he was younger. And
Yariel is 25.
That's correct. Yariel Rodriguez is now eligible to be an international free agent in MLB. Oscar Colossus was an international amateur signing, which means a whole bunch of red tape because they're trying to keep amateurs from making, you know, doing like Luis Robert did with the White Sox and signing a $51 million, or Yoan Moncada signed like a $51 million signing bonus when he was a 21-year-old, I think. And so they restrict how much money they can spend, and they require the players to all register, and they have to register in May, and they have to do this, and they have to do that. But he'll be a free agent, so he can sign a, you know, he can get a $30 million signing bonus in December.
All right. So, I mean, I guess the moral of the story is if you hop in bed with the Cuban players, you have to consider a possibility that you're going to get screwed and not the way you want. So,
Yeah. By some guy with a mustache.
So I suppose Chunichi has to consider it like an injury. You know, we had one of our top pitchers injured, and we just kind of have to shuffle things around. But like I said, I expect that team to get a replacement player, like you mentioned.
The Cubans, I mean, it's not like the Cubans are going to, you know, even Chunichi has some leverage because the Cuban government takes, I think, half of the contract money. They take a huge amount in taxes. Plus, they get an agent. The Cuban Baseball Federation serves as the player's agent, so they get 10% off, 10 or 15% off the top. And I think the Cuban government takes the other half. Of course, for the player, that's a huge thing because $1 million is a big difference from getting paid $4 a day to play in the Series Nationale. So,
All right. So, yeah, interesting.
So my apologies to ignorant boobs throughout the world. I respect you. And it was a figure of speech.
All right. Let's go to fielding questions. All right. So we did have the Trevor Bauer Sour Hour last week, and we did ask Michael Westbay to chime in, and he did. He sent a very succinct message to me via short message on iPhone. And he said the following: never heard of the guy before reading about him in Nikkan Sports a couple of days ago. Sounds like an awful person, but you predicted that he would be the Giants ace. I don't know about an ace. anyway, he says ace in the prediction show, which makes me think he's a very good pitcher. That's it. So... it's just what I suspected. Like I said last week, I said, look, I don't know that I could root for the guy, but I certainly, if he's going to be in the team that I cheer for, I'm not going to hope that he does poorly. And I would hope that he doesn't blow up games and then the team can somehow manage to win. But with that comes personal success, I would imagine, you know, keeping the games close enough so that your team can win. But anyway, Jim, any we know that since we last spoke, Trevor Bauer has developed a shoulder issue and is not going to be able to, I guess he was trying to ramp up as quickly as possible to get ready to pitch over here in Japan after not having a contract for so long. Although I don't know how much you saw on YouTube. I saw that he had put together, because again, I mentioned last week that Trevor Bauer is this eccentric person who is also into doing his own, not social media, because what he was doing wasn't social media per se, but it was like video blogging or vlogging and other kinds of media that he has been into. And so he put together his own video that documented his move to Japan. And in it, he spoke about, he showed some moments or he played some moments during the contract talks and then the actual finalization of the contract. So I don't know if you're able to see that stuff, Jim.
I did not see that, although I might. I think actually he uses anti-social media. And I did see that he had shoulder stiffness.
Yeah, so
and,
yeah,
it was stiff, and I assume yeah. that was from ramping up his pitching and not getting into some of his less appetizing endeavors.
Okay, thank you. So, apparently this was in the works for I can't say how long, but not it didn't. It seemed to hit us very suddenly, but it was not as sudden as we thought.
I'll say it hit us. Let's not go there. At least we were awake.
Yeah, all my jokes are subtle. don't point those out. No, I shouldn't have said. Michael pointed out to me in another message. He said that Nikon Sports had talked about it, and that and so I suppose I shouldn't have said last week on the show that no one was discussing it. But again, the report that I read, the AP article that came out on the day of his press conference, clearly stated that this AP writer, was the only one who asked Trevor about it in that setting. So apparently these other media, and I have to assume that all the major media outlets were out there or had some representative or some related or affiliated entity out there doing the reporting, and then these places didn't really report a lot about what the past or the baggage that Bauer carries as he comes over here to Japan. I don't know how long this shoulder stiffness might keep him out. That is a murky injury, in my opinion. I don't know.
Right, because you don't know what's caused. You don't know what it's a symptom of.
Cause, yeah. And so any comments, though, on this whole Bauer situation that now he's injured?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's where I am. We'll see what we can see. I haven't progressed to talking to any of the people I said I wanted to talk to last week. So we're still in that area. So I do want to see, you know, what other teams had to say about his possibility of playing for them.
Yeah, another.
And I'm guessing that, well, I don't know. You know, I don't really want to guess, because I Japanese teams have been very, as I said, with the exception of the Hiroshima Carp, who pretty much wear that, you know, we want good citizens on their sleeves. And if I talk to their scouts, they'll deny to the heavens that they were interested. On the other hand, it's still their job to kick the tires, even if they have no interest in signing him.
Right.
Because, you know, as the Houston Astros used to be that team too. The Houston Astros used to be that team. We have a very high moral standard here. And what, only a 75-game suspension for domestic violence? Well, yeah, okay. I mean, he's free? Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, okay. Go back to the team manual and take that bit about moral compass out. You know, we can edit it. So I think there's a certain price at which people's morals disappear. And you never know. So it is the scout's job to be on top of that stuff to give their teams the, you know, the full information.
Astros also had an exec who said some unflattering things or non-PC, made some non-PC statements to a woman. So they've had all this. But look, all this reporting on Bauer's bad boudoir behavior is not what I want to talk about on the show. And okay, hopefully we can get through. No, I mean, hopefully we can get through this, but we do want to address that. And hopefully we get a chance to talk to him sometime this season and ask him about it. And have, you know, hopefully not have the PR department step in and say, you can't ask about that. And have him say, you know, have him give us something, some information, something other than, you know, that situation is behind me and I'm here now and all the other.
That's right. And it's all a lie. You know, that's what we've got so far. It's all a lie.
It's all a lie. So anyway, well, I tell you what was no lie was that we had some great games this opening weekend and it was really fun and really, I can't wait for the whole year to play out and see all these young players, who's going to produce and be consistent, and who are the veterans who are going to step up, and who are the new guys, the second year guys are going to make those big jumps, and all the players playing in these games that are so exciting. It was a great, great weekend, opening weekend, and looking forward to the rest of the season. And hopefully Jim will get rid of this cough.
Yeah, now. Yeah, hopefully I'll be able to get normal sleep so that when it's a weekend and I have a chance to, you know, get up at 8 a.m. and go to the ballpark, I can go.
Right. So Michael Westbay, thank you so much for your message. And anyone else who has a question or comment or whatever, criticism, praise, hit us up on Twitter at JBW Podcast. With the hashtag High Heat, send us questions via email to yakyujohn@gmail.com or hit us up on the Facebook page. Look for us on Google Podcasts and iTunes. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
We'll really see you at the ballparks, I hope.
Follow the hosts on Twitter at JBW Podcast and at JBallAllen. Be sure to send in your questions with hashtag High Heat, and you'll hear from us again next week.